I can say right now, I do not like our corporation as it stands. I do not like the people that are running it, and I would like to see a change. I have never voted for anyone on the board and had worked to see that some independent that I felt was going to be helpful to our people. We are losing a lot, but as it stands now, we have a chance to gain from from our experience of what we have lost. There was a mention on how much our board members are making, the president of our corporation, and all the high officials for our corporation. I do not know the qualifications of these people have, what their qualifications are. I know one thing, I do not believe that they qualify to get that high of a salary. For all the other corporations in the lower 48, which are larger than our corporation, they have to earn or work their way up on the corporate ladder to get the salaries that they're making now. There's hundreds of thousands of dollars that your leaders are making, which is going up into the millions. It would be nice if I could make $40,000 a year right now. Right now, I'm working for a measly $13,000 a year, which seems like a big amount of money. But it's not even enough to pay for my children's daycare. When the Congress of the United States passed a bill for the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act to go as corporations, we were forced to take this step into corporation. And when they did pass that bill, they divided the leadership of our people by not having the Alaska Native Brotherhood run your corporation. The leaders at that time were the ones that got the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, dividing our leaders at the time. We lost a lot. Your leaders in the corporation right now keep telling you that they made $1 million or they made $4 million. That does not even pay for the interest that we have to pay from the bank loans that we have been getting, which we did not even know about. There is so much on the corporation that we can be dissatisfied with. Right now, we have a chance to say something about it. A lot of my grandfathers and my grandmothers and aunts and uncles are gone now, did not have a chance to benefit from a corporation. Our corporation and the monies that was brought to us by the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. I may not benefit from it. By the year 1991, there's a lot talked about it, but I feel that if we can build up our corporation by elected the right people to run our corporation and start making money for us, we will not have to worry about selling our stocks. I have been working all my life since I got out of high school and did not have to depend on welfare or the BIA when I graduated from high school. I graduated from Sheldon Jackson Junior College back in 1959. And I have been working for myself since then. When I decided to go back to university and get a better education, I thought my corporation was going to help me. But it turned out it was not so. So I had to turn to the welfare so I can have my daycare paid for my children while I'm going to school. I was fortunate that in later years that I found out about the work study, so I was able to continue on with my education. It was a tough struggle. I stood in line in the food banks many days just so I can continue my education. And now I hope to continue on to law school. And hopefully that Sea Alaska and all the other corporations, as this young lady said, is helping their children or the younger generation to continue on with their education. We had some meetings before this commission came down here that that we wanted to find out what we would be able to say when we come up before the board here. And John Dalton testified this morning with you people, and I don't know how many were here this morning, and I'm sorry I couldn't come to the meeting this morning because I had to remain on my job. Otherwise, I'd have to go without some necessities that the corporation cannot pay for right now. And because I mentioned John Dalton, is we're not related. He's a Simpson, I'm a Tlingit. But we still work together. And I would like to see our people work together a lot more than they have in the past. Whether you're Tlingit, Simpson, Haida, Aleut, Eskimo, if by working together, we can become strong. And that's what we need right now, is to become strong. Sure, you'll have things that you won't disagree with or you can disagree with, but at least you'll be doing it together. I thank you for listening to me. I wish I could say more, but I have come to what I wanted to say, and I know by working together, our corporation and your corporation can become strong and be the top corporations of the United States, and for that matter, the world. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, would anybody else like to say something tonight? We're meeting again at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, and we will meet tomorrow morning and tomorrow afternoon so that we will be here really for one more day. But I've been asked to announce that the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska Washington Chapter will have a dance here at the VFW Hall tomorrow night, Saturday, from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. Everyone 21 years and older is welcome. BYOB, don't know what that means. Live music, $6 per person. Mixers and ice will be available. Come and renew friendships. Information 782-2631. So there'll be a dance here tomorrow night. And Well, I don't. The dance isn't tonight. It's tomorrow night. But if anyone else would like to say something tonight, we've still got a little time.
I'm Gloria Cottrell. I'm a member of the 13th Corporation. I elected to join down here because I couldn't travel to Alaska to keep in track of what was happening. I was educated down here. My dealings with the corporation have confirmed that you do not have anything to say in a corporation. You should have a profit-sharing corporation where the individual is allowed to participate and reap from the benefits of it. The land, I agree with everybody on the fact that we don't have land, but as I know, the only thing that is certain is change in this world. And we have to learn to change with what's happening in the world. Other people that are not native have population growth that they will not be able to hand their land down to their children. They'll have too many children for the amount of land they have. It's not just a native problem. But I do think that they should give the land to the individual people who, according to the number of shares they have in the corporation. That would be one way of dividing the land and then educate them on some of the things that can happen to them if they aren't careful about how they can be built out of it. You just have to be educated. That's the only answer. Otherwise, you're going to be taken advantage of all the time. And we have the same problem in the white world, which I have always been raised in until this came along and I was able to say it was okay to be myself. You don't have to be native, you don't have to be white. You have to be treated and respected as an individual, not just because you're one thing or another. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I should say that the idea that Ms. Cottrell put forward, that is, that the profits are shared automatically, is really an idea that others have put forward, and I think what it amounts to is urging that cooperatives be established in the substitution for the corporations, and we've had discussions in Alaska along those lines to see if cooperatives might in some instances work better than corporations. The other thing I should say about the 13th Corporation, in fairness to the 13th Corporation, the president, Mr. Kurt Engelstadt, was here this afternoon and made a long presentation and answered questions for about an hour. I think I should say that he only recently became the president and has tried to keep the 13th Corporation afloat. He told me he was sending a newsletter to shareholders this month, and they skipped the newsletter last year because they didn't have any money to send it out. At any rate, I'm putting in a good word for some of these corporate people because no one else here seems to be willing to do so. Well, anyone else would like to say a few words tonight? Yes, sir.
My name is James Morstead, and I live at 9621 Kenwood Drive, Southwest in Tacoma. Telephone number 584-4782. And I'm here tonight representing my two daughters who are unable to be here. The first daughter is Ruth Martin. She lives in Tacoma. She is a Sea Alaska shareholder of 100 shares. And she has expressed concerns about the annual audit of Sea Alaska. She's indicated to me that she cannot read it, and neither can I. And I have explained to her that an audit is a lot like a bikini. What it reveals is very interesting, but what it does not reveal is vital. She indicated to me that after being associated with the Sea Alaska Corporation for almost 14 years, that she thinks that it's about time that the corporation show her the vital parts of the audit that have been hidden for so long. And I agree with her. The other daughter, presently living in Anchorage, her name is Gloria Berry. And we have a very personal and a very sensitive problem that we have been unable to resolve. She is also a shareholder of Sea Alaska. On 4th of May, 1971, we had an unfortunate problem that as a teenager, she gave birth to a baby boy in Tacoma. And he was immediately adopted out. And we have tried in vain to locate and enroll this boy in the Alaska Native Settlement Claims Act, as he falls under the same time frame as all of you do. As far as I know, he is not enrolled. The adoption law, the bureaucracy, the doors are slammed right in our face. We have here a legal shareholder, but one who is not enrolled in the original Settlement Act. He is at least one quarter Alaska Native. So I challenge the Sea Alaska Corporation. If the Sea Alaska Corporation is concerned with its shareholders and the Heritage Foundation of that corporation is concerned with its people, find this boy and get him enrolled in the original Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act. And you can use my address as a starting point. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yes, Mr. Paul.
I wanted to document, my name is Fred Paul, 6815 31st Avenue Northeast, Seattle 98115. I wanted to document this business of the rights of the shareholders in acquiring an office in these corporations. I'm a member of the Sea Alaska Corporation, member at large. And I became unhappy in the mid-70s about the quality of our board of directors, and so I ran for the board. Forgotten which year now, I think it was 77 and 78, but two consecutive years. And I wanted to document for the record what my final analysis of the cost of running for the board of Sea Alaska was and is. Those two efforts of mine cost me, out of my own money, about $10,000.
Each?
No,
total.
Together, yeah. That included a village tour. Went to all the villages. I think to all the villages except Yakutat. Airplane fares and propaganda for distribution and rental of halls. The first year, I figured that the management of the Sea Alaska spent about $75,000, that was my estimate, in soliciting proxies. They rent automobiles. They have TV ads to extol the virtues of the incumbents, the management nominees. They have radios. They have solicitors. They have unlimited travel expense, that is, they can hire airplanes, charter airplanes. Well, notwithstanding that, I obviously didn't make it. I tried again the next year. About halfway through that village tour of mine, I said, what in the world am I trying to do? I then made another analysis of the amount of money being spent by the management for the reelection of their own nominees. I made my estimate at $125,000. Now, that's corporate money, our money. And it's using our money so that they can continue with their dynasty. Now, a lot of the guys on the board are pretty good guys. You know, they're all nice people. Got nothing against them personally. But I've noticed that the same use of corporate money to reelect the incumbent directors has been utilized throughout Alaska. Once in a while, the people rebel, but by and large, you got to have solicitors to go around to the bingo games and pester the bingo players. And many, many a bingo player has signed a proxy just to get rid of the solicitor. They're such a pest. And I know that at my home here in Seattle, I had, my formal name is Lewis F. Paul, and so the solicitors don't realize that they're calling on Fred Paul. Anyway, the solicitor left notes at my front door on two different occasions during this last election. You know, we got to have your proxy. Well, one of the reasons why these corporations have not done better is that in terms of business management, they're weak. The dominant manager of the corporation likes to have weak people because he can dominate them and he won't ask embarrassing questions. I read the audit, and I agree with the gentleman who said that the audits hide a lot. But I don't know what the perquisites of the corporate officers are. I don't know what their pension plans are. I have a belief that they're very, very substantial. Now, we have a right to go into the books of the corporation under Alaska law. We can go in there and ferret out what the facts are. But first of all, management won't let you take the books out or won't let you to Xerox or won't let you use the corporate Xerox to make copies of the stuff. And you got to know something in order to ask the right questions. So that really the right of inspection, though guaranteed by Alaska statute, is really meaningless. In any event, for the sake of the record, Mr. Commissioner, I wanted the $125,000 for 1 year solicitation that management was spending, and that was a few years ago, and I assume it's proportionately higher today, as my in-depth analysis of the cost of these automobiles and airplanes and long-distance telephone calls and hiring all of these solicitors and et cetera. Thank you.
Could I just ask you one question? That of course goes on, but it goes on in every corporation in America, in that the incumbents, the administration,
yeah,
in any corporation in America, does that same thing. That's part of corporate democracy. It may be imperfect, but that's the way They do it. General Motors has had the same hierarchy for 50 years, hasn't it? And no one among the shareholders can ever get on the board if the incumbents using the vast sums at their disposal want to make sure they don't. Do you care to comment on that? Do you think that's a fair statement of the situation?
Ordinary American Business Corporation does use corporate assets to send out proxy material, and there is some follow-up. I think there is, however, a disproportionate amount of management activity in the soliciting process as compared to General Motors or Washington Mutual Savings Bank, any stock corporation. Congress exempted the Alaska Native Corporations from a good hunk of the Securities and Exchange laws that we have back in 1976. That's an impediment to hold accountability, and I'm not willing to say specifically that, you know, as a lawyer, that the solicitation process under the federal securities laws is exempted. I believe it is. There are corporate takeovers in the American business world.
That's by buying shares.
Yes.
And mounted by people who are spending more than $5,000 on their campaigns.
Yes.
I have something to say. People that sign proxy is practically selling themselves what the solicitor is talking about, and I can understand that. People sign proxies either to get money or to vote for someone. And I don't think I see other corporations doing that. It's just like selling themselves for something you want.
Yeah. Well, carry on, Mr. Paul.
And then one of the things that bothers me in the Alaska Native situation is that, to in a sense disenfranchise the ordinary stockholder is against the principles of the Indian culture within ourselves. And they're using, in a sense, a white man's trick in order for them to maintain their own control. Let's assume that they're doing exactly what other corporations do. Yet it runs counter to run roughshod over a member of the tribe simply because he's some sort of a dissident. We all have, in the Indian world, a right of not going along with the leader. I had another thought. There are the management uses as an excuse for these huge expenditures in obtaining proxies that they have to get a quorum. I see nothing wrong with reducing the percentage necessary for a quorum. Right now, Sea Alaska has a 50% margin. You got to have 50% shares being voted in order to have a quorum for the annual shareholders meeting. If it were 40% or even 30%, then the excuse for spending this money would evaporate. Then a dissident shareholder running for the board of directors would have a better chance. I don't really see that percentage being reduced because, again, management has advice on the board of directors, and they're not about to release it.
I guess it isn't on, or is it?
Oh, go ahead.
I would like to make a comment on the comparing General Motors to Sea Alaska on the voting. First of all, in General Motors, they have majority shareholders. In Sea Alaska, there is no one that has maybe over 1,000 votes, and I think I'm really high there because it's probably closer to 600, and that's only through inheritance. So there are no majority stockholders in Sea Alaska. Now, in my estimation, if a majority stockholder who maybe owns 35% of General Motors wishes to put out $100,000 to re-elect the board that he feels will give him a fair return on his investment, I don't think that's wrong. But when someone only has 600 to 100 at the most, or 1,000 shares, investing money that is not really his at all, to ensure that he stays in a place where he can get the biggest shot at the pie, I think is a little obscene, and I have to go along with Mr. Paul. There has been promoted at one time an idea by which anyone who was at all worthy, and most of us are, but there could be a screening process, who wished to stand for the board would be assisted by any corporation to help defray these costs, because mailing in itself is almost an impediment, because it, 22 cents a letter? And that's about the only way especially in Sea Alaska, that you can reach a great many people. And you need 2,000 votes to even begin to make an impact. And I would like Mr. Paul to comment if he wishes.
I do have some thoughts on what you're saying there. Most corporations in the United States, the big ones, do not have single persons or even groups of people who have a very large percentage of stock. I think Henry Ford has 10% of the voting stock in his name, for example. And that's one of the things that bothers me about 1991. Let's take one of the Southeast corporations having timber rights. They don't have very many stockholders. Most American corporations are controlled by a person who owns 4 or 5 or 6% of the stock. Pay and Save Corporation recently had a big stockholder quarrel. Well, it turned out that the gentleman who had controlled the corporation for many, many years owned 6% of the outstanding shares. Now, so I transpose the number of shares necessary to a corporation that I learned from Pay and Save Corporation, for example, into the Alaska situation. And, all of us have our weaknesses, and I'm sure John Barleycorn is going to have, or Jim Beam is going to have some impact on the transfer of the shares of stock come 1991, unless something's done. And one of these corporations sold 15% of its cutting rights for $25 million. It only has 120 shareholders. That's $220,000 per shareholder. I fear what's going to happen. So if there was one buyer of stock in this particular corporation were able to get, say, 25 shares or 25% of the shares, you know, he could probably have control of the corporation. And that was only 15% of the cutting rights. They still have 85%, and they still own the freehold, the underlying estate. Those are my thoughts on your question.
Thank you, Mr. Paul.
Thank you.
Yes.
Would you like to ask Mr. Paul a question?
No. It was referring to a remark you made that I would like to make a remark about. You said that this was common procedure for corporations to have the expenditure for the election and selection of the board of directors. This is true, and many of the stockholders are aware that it is a policy to have this expenditure. The one difference that you've been hearing tonight is the fact that these board of directors that are utilizing the monies to conduct these campaigns for their elections are not productive board of directors. The board of the big difference is that, say, General Motors or Ford has board of directors that are making money for them and thus producing dividends for their shareholders. This is what you're hearing tonight, is that our board of directors aren't doing this, and that the expenditures that is utilized from the funds, and now they're even borrowing money to conduct these campaigns, isn't bringing back the same results. And that is the big difference between what Ford and General Motors are getting and what we're not getting. And if the board of directors were of the ability to produce and run a corporation that is successful and providing the dividends that the people expect, I don't think there'd be any quarrel with the methods that they use. But to use the same procedure for the same people who have been unproductive for 12 years, to my way of thinking, is a terrible waste of the money and the fact that they are jeopardizing the lands that were given to us as collateral for the loans to keep themselves in office, as Mrs. Hite said, I think it's obscene. Thank you.
Thank you.
May I make a comment on?
Yes.
I own stock in American Venture, and once a year I get proxy. They do not pound on my door. They do not call me. They don't make trips if I don't vote. And I think this is the one thing that many of us object to, is that if a person does not answer a proxy, he or she must have voted elsewhere or do not care to vote. But the solicitors travel, and I know that for a fact. They travel their way, it's paid to wherever they need to go. Everything is paid for. They're paid about $10 to $12 an hour, and plus all the TV appearances, and that costs a fortune. And in this time of crises, we would like to see our corporation hold back on their spending. When they send out literature, it's to practically everyone in the family, whereas they could have sent to one person, the head, you know, especially when it involves minor children who are at home. And we've talked and ranted and raved about that, but as we've said before, they've never listened to us. And I think that we're all so tired of the same board of directors year in and year out who have been unproductive, that we have come here hoping someone would listen to us, because we're interested in that corporation. We want it to continue. But under the circumstances, at the rate it's going, we probably don't have it. We probably have no control over whatsoever. And then it's pointless to keep talking about it sometimes. Many of us get discouraged.
As for myself and my family, we'll probably make it, but there are many others that won't. And that's a concern many of them see.
Yes, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate the point you make about not just sending the proxy out in the mail, but solicitation at the door, and Mr. Paul's point about the bingo games. I've heard this in Alaska, too, and I asked the question I did of Mr. Paul to sharpen the discussion. You were going to say something, Mr. Dalton.
Yes. When you said that General Motors or other corporations performed their proxy solicitation similar to Sea Alaska, I felt that I should come up here and say this isn't so. But Martha has beat me to the draw because I do have 437 shares with a construction, Chicago-based construction company. And because the chairman of the board loves the Pacific Northwest, he moved his office from Chicago to Seattle. Every year in April, we receive proxy statements from the company, and with the financial reports that are not difficult to understand, they tell us how much our stocks have increased for the year ending December 31 of the recent year. And if our stocks have increased in value, they let us know about that. We are not solicited beyond the fact that we get the proxy by mail. If the employees did not submit their proxies, the chairman of the board did not harass them for the proxies. There was no other solicitation by anyone at $10 or $12 an hour, an army of them. So I would say that the corporations do send out proxies, but they don't hire solicitors at $12 an hour, 50 or 60 or maybe 100 of them during the proxy season. So there is a difference between the operation of corporations in the lower 48th and from the 12 regions.
Yeah, good point. I'm glad you made it.
My name is Adeline Garcia. I'm a full-blood Haida woman. I wanted to have some spokesman for the Haida people tonight, as most everybody was Tlingit. I'm bilingual. I feel that living here in Seattle has not changed my status as an Indian woman. In fact, it has enforced it. And I feel very strongly about what has happened with our corporation. And I feel that by asking us to extend or to follow through with these 1991 issues, that we have had nothing down here to show us or to let us have faith in those who are running the corporation that we want to give them an additional 20 years or 30 years. I believe that if we're going to keep our land for Indian people, and I believe very strongly in the land. I am a shareholder in Sea Alaska, and I'm also a shareholder in Shansheed, in my village corporation. And I've lived in Seattle for 40 years, yet I chose to go back to my village and to Alaska because I believe that's where our power base is and that's where our people need to know where they're from. If anyone asks me today where I'm from, I don't say I'm from Seattle. I'm from Alaska. I'm Haida from Alaska. So I feel our power is in the land and I would go along with it, but also for the record, I would like to see a change in the structure so that we, the people living down here in Seattle, will benefit as other people have benefited in Alaska. We're always referred to as outsiders. Yet when they need to vote and get themselves back in office, who do they come to? They come to us down here to get our votes. But yet they don't give us the same courtesy or the benefits that is given to those who live in Alaska. Thank you.
Sean Seat, is that Kowak? Craig. Yeah. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Well, let me remind you that we will be holding another hearing tomorrow starting at 10 a.m. and going on through till 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I want to thank all of you who came tonight and those who testified tonight. I learned a great deal, and this discussion that we've had has been very useful to me. I think you know that this is the last hearing that we'll be holding. This is the 61st hearing, and I've learned something new at each one of them, and that is as true of this hearing in Seattle as it has been of the hearings we have held in Alaska. So let me thank you for coming tonight and say that we'll start again at 10 in the morning, and you're all welcome. And if there's something further you'd like to say tomorrow, please come down and say it. If you haven't testified, feel free to do so tomorrow. And if you decide that there's something you want to pass on to us in writing, just send me a letter at our office in Anchorage. And Mary and Joyce have cards with our address in Anchorage, and you should feel free to write us a note or add anything to what you've said. So thanks again, and I hope we'll see you tomorrow morning at 10.